Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and motivated by what you hear tonight. If you would like to join other listeners in the live chat room, go to www.wingsofprophecy.com and click on the live chat tab. Now here's your host, Glenda Lankus.
Good evening, Blog Talk listeners and YouTube viewers. Today is Thursday, March 7th, 2013. Tonight I'm going to be sharing with you a little bit about giving. The Lord put this on my heart to share with all of you. He reminded me of the many times that He has brought me through the land of financial lack and how He taught me to get a more secure financial footing. So I just want to share that with you. We all go through times of lack. From time to time, I mean, it's just something that we deal with. You know, the economy goes up and down, but there is a place that you can get to where you have a more sure footing and you learn to trust Him more and more, and He will provide for you because your faith is out there and you're doing things His way. I want to mention before I start, for anyone who's interested, my husband and I have started a new blog called Get Your House in Order, based on something the Lord said to me early last year. And I'll be posting part of the time, Jerry will be posting part of the time. We're just going to share with you things that God is showing us, different things that He's spoken to us as we're walking this thing out. It's very, very, very important. I cannot stress that enough because of the time we live in, because we live in a time like none before it, and a lot of things are going to happen that we've never seen happen before. And the Lord has told me over and over and over again that we have to get our house in order, all of us, not just Jerry and I, but all of us, because what's coming is going to be total chaos. If you've got chaos inside your house and there's chaos out in the world, that's going to be a really, really bad situation. So I encourage you, if you're interested in seeing what the Lord is sharing with us and the things that we're walking out, to visit the blog. It's jerryandglendalinkus.blogspot.com. The title of it is Get Your House in Order. I have posted a link to it at the very top right-hand corner of the wingsofprophecy.com site. So, and you can subscribe to it. So, I was praying about what to talk to you about this week, and the Lord laid very heavily on my heart to talk about giving. He has shown me in my spirit that many people, because they don't understand about giving, they're keeping themselves out of where He wants them to be and where they're asking to be put. So let's just talk about that for a minute. I get emails every single week from people asking for prayer because they're dealing with financial lack, they're out of work, they've lost their house, whatever's going on, and they don't have enough money. And I've been there, oh y'all, I've so been there. If you've read my book, The Wilderness Companion, you know that I've been there more than once, down to just almost nothing, just terrifying levels of lack. And so I know what that's like, and my heart breaks when I know someone's going through that, especially if they have children to provide for or elderly parents they're trying to take care of or something like that. So what I want to share with you tonight is what the Lord taught me about how to walk into an area of, I don't want to say prosperity because I know what some of y'all think about that. I don't want to say miraculous provision or anything like that, because miracles are a totally different thing than walking in God's continual blessing, and that's what He wants for you. Understand something about finances. God will provide us a miracle when we need one, but He does not want us to survive on miracles. Miracles are more for unbelievers than they are for us as believers. The Bible says the just shall live by faith, okay? So if we have our faith out there, if we're walking in things, doing things God's way, we're not going to need that miracle hardly ever, okay? It's going to be there for us if we need it. But if we're doing things the way the Lord wants us to do them, we're submitted to Him, doing what we believe He's leading us to do in our lives, and we're trying to obey Him in everything, we're going to be walking in His blessing continually. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So we have access to everything He has. But we need to be, you know, doing what we're supposed to be doing too. You cannot live a life of rebellion against God. God moves on your heart to go do this or give that, and you rebel against Him and say, no, I'm not going to do that, and then expect to put your hand out and He's going to fill it up. Not that He's not going to feed you. You're going to have food. You're going to have a roof over your head. But He's not going to rain down blessings on you if you're rebelling against Him. If you have children and you have a child, you want to bless all your children. Let's say that you have enough to bless them all, more than enough. Let's say that you have one child that is just totally in rebellion. They don't want to do anything that you want them to do. They don't want to obey. They don't want to be anything like you. They want to be totally just rebellious and obnoxious. Do you want to shower that child in blessings? You love them, yes. But if you know that giving them more blessings is not going to help them get over that rebellion and walk in humility, chances are you're going to shower the blessings on the children that are doing what is right. So just as an example. So I get emails every week from people who are in dire financial, I mean really dire need sometimes, y'all. And I pray over those emails. When I get an email from someone telling me that, you know, they're in a bad situation or they're in need, I always stop and pray, because I consider it a great privilege and an honor that God allows me to have a way to speak to you and share with you the things that He's done for me, because I think God is just so awesome and He has walked me through so much stuff over the years, and it's, to me, it's just a great privilege to be able to share that. So when someone responds back and says, please pray for me, I have this going on, or can you help me, you know, what do I do, I'm going to respond to that, but I'm also going to pray for them no matter what. I'm going to stop and pray as soon as I read that. And I read all the emails that y'all send to me. And I do my best to respond to everybody. Sometimes I get, you know, sometimes it bottlenecks and I'll have like 60 emails in my inbox and I can't get to them all, but I do try to. As most of y'all probably know, a few years back I was working and traveling in the oil and gas industry. Basically just doing research. They move you from town to town and you do research. And the Lord told me to write the Wilderness Companion book. And for a while I tried to write and work both. That didn't work real well, by the way. Because the kind of work that I did was mentally exhausting and very, very challenging, and you couldn't miss any details. So at the end of working 8 or 10 hours of that, you're just completely depleted. You're worn out. Eventually it came to the point the Lord gave me a deadline for the book. It had to be done by a certain date. And I don't remember why He said, but I worked day and night to write that book. And finally it came to the point that He showed me that either I had to give up the job or I had to give up the book. I wasn't willing to give up the book, so because I knew that the book was important. It was important to Him. So I laid down the job. After the book was published, I asked the Lord if I was supposed to go back to work. And His answer was, if you get a job, I will have you fired. He said, if you find another job, I will have you fired. And I said, okay, I guess that would be a no. And I said, okay, fine. If you'll take care of me, I'll stay home and do whatever you want me to do. And so that's what I've been doing ever since. And the Lord provides for me through people that I receive from the ministry that I do, and that's how we do that. And I'm continuing to write books. Right now, I'm working on a book about healing, and God has revealed to me stuff that I've not seen in any other healing book. So I'm hoping and praying that a lot of people get helped with this. And I'm working on receiving all of my healing as well. Not receiving it so much as manifesting it. God's already given it to us. Okay, now, sorry y'all, I scribbled my notes, so bear with me here. Anyway, so after I worked for a while, the Lord had me move from Oklahoma to Texas in the height of the Great Recession. I mean, everybody, people were taking their lives. It was so sad, and jobs were being cut by hundreds and thousands. It was so terrible. People were losing their houses right and left. You know, the housing bubble burst, and He said, pack up your stuff, I'm moving you. And He said, I want you to start a fast. And so I did what He told me. It took me a month to sort through all my stuff and pack, because I had to cram it all into a UL trailer. So I had to give away about well, I don't know how much, but a lot of what I had. I took pickup loads of stuff to a place where I donated several times a week during that month that I was trying to go through everything and just bring what was essential so that I could be where God wanted me to be. Because the key with God is, if you want to walk in divine provision, if you want God to provide for you, if you believe that He's calling you into a higher level of faith, don't move until He is, by the way. You have to be in the place where He wants you, and at least trying to do the thing He wants you to do. Okay? If you're where God wants you to be, the saying is, where God guides, He provides. Okay? And that's the truth. Where He guides, He provides. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If the Lord is your shepherd, He's guiding you. Okay? And you're following Him. You're the sheep, He's the shepherd. You're following wherever He guides, to the green pasture. Okay? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So if you're letting Him be your shepherd, if you're letting Him guide you like a sheep, you're not going to be in want. Because why? He's going to always guide you where the green pasture is. Okay? Okay. So that's very key in understanding how to receive provision from God and have enough all the time. Is Psalm 23:1. Remember, He's the shepherd. You don't say, oh, I'm going here, I'm going there. You say, Lord, where am I going? Where am I going? Where do You want me? Whenever God moves me to a place, I won't leave that place until He moves me, no matter how bad it is. And any of y'all who've read my book, you know, it got pretty bad at that little house. It was bad. And I was there 4 years. I only just got to move a month ago. And, you know, you just do the best you can with it, because God has a purpose in the place where He puts you. He has a purpose. And if you move, you won't fulfill that purpose. And then everything becomes a big mess, because you won't, for one thing, you won't be equipped for the next step. You need to be equipped for the next step He has for you. We can't pray continually and say, oh, God, give me this. God, put me there. God, do this for me. God, I want to, you know, minister to 10,000 of Your people. If you're not willing to do what God wants you to do, if you're not willing to submit and say, okay, I'll lay down the dreams I had for my life, the desires that I thought I had for my life, I'll lay those down and let You give me back whichever ones You want me to have. Because we can't have our way and have His way too. You get one or the other. Generally, our way is all about the flesh and pride and all of that nonsense, which is worthless. It's all worthless. Living for God and doing His purpose for your life is so fulfilling. You have so much peace every day because you know that you're in His will. And you know no matter what happens, He's going to take care of you because you work for Him and you walk with Him. And I get so many emails from people saying, how do you hear from God? I don't understand how to hear from God. And I've made videos about this, y'all. The key to hearing from God is to be completely submitted and be as obedient as you know how to be. Okay? That's the key. You have to fear His power enough to not be just doing everything you want to do. You can't just go do whatever you want to do in the flesh and say, oh, Lord, bless me. Come on now. Obedience and blessing are linked. They're intricately linked. He wants us to be obedient children so He can bless us. Because if you're walking in a bunch of sin and you're in disobedience, He can't give you very much stuff because the devil's going to use it to hurt you. He'll destroy you with it. If you're living in a bunch of sin, He can't give you a bunch of money. That'll just make it, because money magnifies whatever else is inside you. That's a word for somebody. Somebody has been praying and saying, Lord, increase me, increase me. But there's sin, there's so much sin in you, He can't increase you because it would destroy you, He said. I don't know if you're male or female. I think that's a word for more than one person. Okay, where was I? I actually worked for probably close to a year past when I think God really wanted me to lay down the job that I had. I was scared, and I didn't know where provision would come from. If you live on the paycheck system and then it suddenly stops, you know, your faith doesn't just magically rise up at that point and say, oh, I didn't have a paycheck, but I don't have a paycheck, but I just know how to do this. Come on, y'all. It's not that easy. It's a progression, and I was scared. I mean, I was afraid to lay down my job, but I knew that God wanted me to do it. And I knew that I had to choose because he gave me a deadline for the book, and I think that's part of the reason he gave me one, is because I would have let it go on forever, and I would have kept trying to work and do my own thing and take care of myself when God wanted to be the one to take care of me. Anybody who, you know, those of us who are called to minister to God's people, we don't want to work in the secular world. We really want to minister to his people. The temptation is to say, I'm going to quit my job. God's going to take care of me. Don't ever do that unless he specifically tells you to do that, because he's not obligated to take care of you unless he told you to quit your job. Just saying. That's extremely important. You put yourself in the wilderness if you get presumptuous. That's presumption when you're just saying, okay, well, if I quit my job, God will pay all my bills. Not if he didn't say he would. You need to be sure that he's telling you to quit your job. That's so important. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people quit jobs, even in management, and say, you know what, I want to minister. I know I'm called to minister. I'm just going to stop working, when God didn't lead them to do it. The reason God didn't lead them to do it is he didn't have their character ready to do it yet. They could not keep themselves where they wanted to put themselves. Only God knows when we're ready. So we have to wait on his timing. For the last 16 years since I've been in this walk with God, whether I had a little or I had a lot, I tithed and I offered. I've always been a tither because I saw my mom tithe. And mom always said, you know, it's so important to do this. And when I started studying the Word, I read it and I felt, even though it's in the Old Testament, I really felt in my spirit, as I still do, that tithing is the way to be blessed financially today. And I'm not saying it's a law, but I'm saying I've seen tithing work, and I've tried it both ways, and I've literally had God speak to me to release my tithe. So I truly believe that it is the way to be blessed. And I've looked back over older couples that I knew that, you know, tithe their whole married life. They are always blessed. They always live in a lot of peace. And I believe that that's the blessing of the tithe. I really, really believe that, that they're standing on that scripture in Malachi. Let me read that to y'all. I know it pretty much by heart, but I don't want to misquote. Can't stand to quote a scripture wrong. This one is a different version. It's not King James, but bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this. The King James says, prove me now herewith. This is Malachi 3:10. Says the Lord of hosts. It's the only place in the Bible where God says, go ahead, prove me. The only place in the Bible, y'all. If I will not open for you the window of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. No, we pray for the overflowing blessing, y'all, but if we're not in obedience, we're not doing what he says to do. He says, go ahead, try me on this, and I'll show you. If we're not willing to do our part first, it's not fair to ask God to open that window and pour that blessing out. Proverbs 11:24 and 25, there is one who scatters and yet increases all the more, and there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. Okay, did you get that? One that withholds what's due, and it results in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. So if we want it to be given to us, we need to be givers. We're all in the kingdom of God. We are all supposed to be givers. We're all supposed to be. Because that's what he said to do. People tend to think, from a human standpoint, that giving is a money issue. Giving is not a money issue. Giving is a heart obedience issue. It is a test of your heart when God leads you or shows you or speaks to you to give a certain place or tithe to a certain ministry, or, you know, give that person $100 or whatever, however he does it. It is a heart obedience issue. If he speaks that to you, whether you will obey or not. You know why? Because if you withhold that, that means that your heart is in your money, not your God. That means that let's say that God speaks to me and says, I want you to give $100 to that homeless shelter or something like that. And if I say, no, Lord, I want to keep that. I might need that. You know what that means? I trust in that money, not my God. That means I love my money more than I love my God. And that's why it's so important to God that we give cheerfully and don't try to hold on to it or hoard it, because all the days coming when it's not going to be worth anything here. And I go back often through the journals that I've journaled over the last, well, I've been keeping them since 1997. All the visions that God has shown me in prayer, anything that He's spoken to me, everything's in my journal. So I go back to them, and I'm starting to index them where I can find things more easily. Sometimes the Lord tells me stuff about things that are coming, and he won't let me release it because it's bad or it's shocking or it's whatever. And there are so many times when He gives me this urgency in my spirit that, you know, we're running out of time. We're running out of time, y'all. He spoke to me the other night, and He said, I want you to start reaching out evangelistically in the radio show. And He said, I want you to do it every show. And I said, okay, Lord. And so I sat down and I recorded invitations to put at the end of each show for anyone who might be listening who is not yet walking with the Lord and wants to know how to walk with the Lord. And it's something that I hadn't really thought to do before, because I always get so focused on whatever subject He gives me to talk about that I just, you know, kind of like have blinders on. But we just don't have time to play around with things anymore. We've got to get our stuff right. We've got to get our house in order. We've got to get our finances in order. We've got to get our hearts straight and be walking right, because when a judgment falls, it may fall in your backyard. It may fall in my backyard. I mean, you don't know when you go to bed at night if you're going to get up the next day. That poor man down in Florida that sinkhole swallowed up his bedroom in the house broke my heart. I couldn't even watch the news reports of it. It just broke my heart, because here's this man, he's not even 40 years old. He goes to bed at night thinking it's an ordinary day, right? Goes to bed at night. Y'all remember those big storms last year, the tornadoes? There were some people that went to bed and those storms hit too, and they never woke up. They woke up in eternity, but they didn't wake up on earth. We have to think about that. Y'all, the stroke I had it while I was sleeping. That really brings stuff like that home to you. You can go to bed, and the next morning you wake up and your whole life has changed, or you don't wake up and your life is over. Over. It is important that we do what God wants us to do today. That's what I'm saying. And there's coming a time of such great financial lack in America and in other places in the world that we have got to be walking God's way in finances, y'all, or it's going to be so much worse, so much worse. If you do things God's way, God's going to provide you. He's going to guide you where there's provision. He's going to move you where you need to be moved. He's going to provide for you. But if you don't, your path's really going to be hard. And it doesn't need to be hard. You don't have to make it hard. Just do what He wants you to do. It's not that hard. Whatever He asks you to do or wants you to do, He's going to help you do it. Okay, I want to talk about... I want to talk about some of the things to not to do, what to do and what not to do if you want to be on a more stable financial footing where God is continually bringing you more, okay? And I don't mean more like you're in a mansion next year. I'm not talking about that kind of more. I'm talking about an abundance in your life where you have plenty and you have enough to help others and sow into ministries where you can help God's kingdom more. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an abundance of flow in your life as opposed to paycheck to paycheck or, oh, wow, we can't pay the light bill this month. Okay? What you give, how much you give is important as far as if it relates to how much or what God is telling you to give. Okay? It doesn't matter if it's $1, $10, $1,000. It matters if that's what God has led you or put on your heart or spoke to you to do. the other thing that's really important, because partial obedience is still disobedience. Do y'all realize that? Part, just obeying part the way is still disobeying. You're still rebelling. You have to obey what God's telling you to do if you want Him to take care of you, if you want Him to keep you in abundance when things get hard. There are things coming that I don't care how much stuff you stock up for, you cannot get through that long of what's coming, okay? It's not going to happen. The people who store up for what's coming, you're going to have more for a longer period of time, but what's coming, you cannot store up enough for. If you don't have God, you will not make it. You've got to have supernatural provision in times like that, and He is willing to give that to you, but you must obey. Okay, it is extremely important when, let's say God speaks to you and says, okay, I want you to start tithing this week. Okay, your next question should be, where do you want me to tithe right now? If you don't belong to a church, like I don't belong to a church anyplace, so God will have me tithe different places. He'll have me give one place sometimes for 3 months or 6 months or, you know, 3 years, whatever. And then He'll speak to me one day and He'll say, okay, I'm done with you there. I want you to give over here. Or I want you to give to that person this week, and the next week it'll go somewhere else. It's God uses that to answer prayers and be supernatural provision for somebody that's way out here by themselves. You know, they're trying to get up on their feet in ministry, and they don't have a church, they don't have a ministry, but God sees their need. And so He speaks to someone that can hear Him and says, hey, give over there. I need you to give. That person's in need. And you might never know that they are. And you end up being sowing into what turns out to be a miraculous testimony that glorifies God by just obeying and doing that. There was a time in, I can't remember what year it was. See, I've got the notes here. I'll tell you all this story. Those of you that I've known for all the time I've been on YouTube, you know this story. I think I've made a video about that God did a financial miracle for me. It was in March of 2010, right before I almost became homeless. And I was really, really down. Things were really bad. There was no jobs anywhere. And the jobs that there were, if I can just be honest, were not going to people of my age, okay? They were going to younger people who had, you know, college degrees and whatever. Because you could hire somebody with a college degree for, you know, $6 an hour, where normally you couldn't. And I wasn't making as many videos. I wasn't talking to as many people because I was just almost despairing, because I didn't know how I was going to pay rent. I didn't know how I was going to pay bills and put food on the table. And I had done some videos and people were just being so critical. You know, it amazes me that we spend our time and put videos out trying to help people, and they will turn around and just, you know, slice and dice us and criticize and hate and things like that. And I don't tolerate things like that real well, because I won't approve the hate comments. But that was going on then. And it's very discouraging when you're trying to do what you believe God's telling you to do. So I had been praying more, studying the Word more. I'd been praising God, and I didn't know what God was going to do. I knew He had to do something. I was asking God to confirm that, yes, I was in the right place, yes, I was doing what He wanted, which I was almost positive that I was, and it turned out I was. And, you know, I started updating my resume and trying to figure out what to do. I knew that God had told me I wasn't supposed to work, but I was running out of money. I didn't know what else to do. I didn't want to be in the street, you know, living under a bridge. And so this one day, I was really, really down. It was, you know, the bills were coming in, and I was looking at them thinking, wow, I don't know how I'm going to pay that. And I was trying to, you know, be prayerful and praise God and keep my faith up. But when the bills keep coming in and the money don't come in, y'all, it's really hard to keep your faith up. And those of you who have been through it, I know you're nodding your head right now going, yeah, it is. It is hard to keep your faith up. So this one day, you know, I'm thinking about all that, and the mail ran, and I was walking out down the street to the lockbox where the mail was, and pulled in a stack of mail, and I always get a lot of mail, and walked back in the house and laid it down, and the stack fell over, and there was this envelope on it that didn't have any return address, and I was trying to sort through all the junk mail and throw it away, you know, and I opened this envelope, and out fell a money order for $1,000. No return address on the envelope. No name on the money order. So I didn't even know who to thank. And I looked up the address on the money order, and it was some post office in some forest in, like, Tennessee or something. And I knew, you know, it was some obedient servant of God that God spoke to and said, I want you to send $1,000 there. And they were a humble servant. They didn't want to be thanked for it. They just wanted to do what they were supposed to do. And they got a money order and just put it in there. That, there's no telling what God blessed that person for. Or people. It could have been a couple, whatever it was. I did the happy dance. No, I didn't videotape that. And jumped for joy for quite some time after that. I was definitely shouting hallelujah, y'all. And that's the kind of thing God will do for you. If you are in His will, you're where He puts you, you're ministering to His people, or doing whatever your thing is that you're supposed to be doing. Your thing may be totally different. Your thing may be to raise kids or, you know, whatever. But what matters is if you're doing what God told you to do, what He put on your heart as your part. We all have a part to play. And it's so important that we all get into position to do what we're supposed to do, because it's the end time, y'all. There's a lot of people that have never heard about Jesus that if they die tonight, when they go to sleep, you know what? They're not going where we're going. And if we all do our part, there'll be a whole lot fewer of those that go to the bad place and a whole lot more that go where we're going. But it's going to take all of us to do it, because there's a lot of people that need to be reached. But that's the kind of miracle that God will bring you when you're in need, when you're learning to walk in more, and you're learning more obedience, or God's working on your character, or whatever, you know, refining you in the wilderness. He will bring manna when you need manna. It might be last minute manna, but it'll be there. Okay, now. So it's important that we sow when God tells us to sow. And it is important that you sow where God tells you to sow. But here's another thing. It's very important that you sow consistently, not hit and miss. If you want God to provide for you consistently, you need to sow into God's kingdom consistently, because your consistency is going to come back into your life. Okay? It's like a circle. You want God to provide for you consistently, you need to consistently be in sowing into the kingdom work that He cares about. Because there's a lot of people that He wants to reach in this end time and bring in this harvest. We're the vessels He's going to use to do that. But it takes money to preach the gospel. It takes money to send missionaries to foreign countries. It takes money to, you know, do TV networks that, you know, send signals into places like the Middle East where there's not a lot of Christian teaching, or where it's against the law and they just stone you for doing it. The ground that you sow into is extremely important. If I walk out my front door tomorrow and I have a packet of seeds and I plant them in hard, dry ground, are they going to grow? No, they're not going to grow. If you sow into dead ground or dry ground that doesn't have any signs of life in it, your seed's going right into that ground and it's not going any further. Recently, I was hanging out with two friends. And they had been going through a lot of lack and a lot of hit and miss kind of stuff in their business, where the business just wasn't coming in, and, you know, they were barely getting by. They were paying the bills, but just barely, you know, hold their breath till the money came in to pay the next bill, kind of survival instincts, you know, that kind of existence. And the Lord spoke to me one day, because they go to this one church that, let's just say that you don't feel the Spirit of God there much. And the Lord spoke to me one day and said that they were sowing into that dead church, and so their seed wasn't coming up. And He said, tell them to stop sowing into dead ground. That's why they're in lack. And, you know, they had gone to that church for quite some time and, you know, were well-known members and help out with the ministry and stuff like that. And the Lord's saying, stop sowing into that. That's dead. I don't want you putting the money there. And so, of course, I told them, you know, the word that He said. And, I don't know what happened after that, because it's not my business. But it's very important that you ask the Lord where to sow. Because if you you know, if you work all week for a paycheck, you get that paycheck, taking that tithe off of it is, you know, a sacrificial thing. At first, you see the tithe going out. After a while, it's just so automatic, you don't really think about it, and you don't miss it because God does so much with what's left that you don't miss it. But it's, you want that to bring you a harvest. You want it to go into good work for the kingdom, and you want it to come back as a harvest into your own life. And that's fair to expect that. God's told us we can expect that. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven. But if you want the windows of heaven to be open and the blessings to come down, you got to sow into good ground. So ask the Lord where he wants you to sow. Because here's the thing that I've noticed over the years. There were times when maybe I had a friend who had a ministry, or maybe I thought such and such church, you know, was good ground. And I would sow money into that, you know, tithes and offerings into that, and one day God would speak and say, hey, that's not where I want you tithing. And I would say, really? And he would move it because he knew something about that I didn't know. And a lot of times later on, when I had, you know, separated myself from that, he would reveal to me why he said that and what was really going on, just so, you know, for understanding purposes. But it's very important that you sow into good ground, because if you don't, you're not going to see something coming back from that like you should see and like you, you know, are told in the Word you can expect to see. So, let's summarize. If we want God to be faithful to provide for us, we need to be faithful to sow into God's work to bring souls into the kingdom, okay? And to get the gospel out there. We need to sow how much and when, he tells us. Partial obedience is still disobedience. God blesses obedience. It's very important that you get into obedience in this issue as well as other issues. God wants us to be submitted in our heart. This is a heart obedience issue. But he wants us to be submitted in our hearts as far as answering the call that he's placed on our life, living where he wants us to be geographically. It's all important, y'all. All the pieces count. It all matters. We need to submit more than just our money to God. God wants all of you. He wants all of you. He wants your whole life. Because if you'll give him your life, he will give you back something so amazing, you won't even believe it's your life. It's so incredible. He can do things with your life you cannot begin to do on your own. Walking with God and submitting yourself to God's will takes all the limits off your life. It doesn't matter if you're educated, you're not educated. It doesn't matter the background you came from. Nothing matters. Nothing matters. Because he can take a little and just make it into something incredible. But you've got to give him the little first. You got to release that to him. You got to give him whatever life you have. My life was a mess when Jesus saved me. It was just a mess. It was empty. It was meaningless. It was about nothing but just having a good time. And I wasn't happy. I thought I was, but I wasn't. I knew nothing about real happiness then. And when I discovered that God was real, I said, okay, Lord, I haven't done so great with my life, so if you can do something with it, here, take it. You know, use it to help people. Do something good with it so that by the time I die, it counts for something. Because the way I'm going, it's certainly not going to count for anything. And he accepted that. And he took it and he started to work on my character. And that was real painful. And it still is when he works on my character, y'all. It still is painful. But I'm a lot more cooperative now when I know what he's doing. But God can take your life and make it into something that has meaning. But you have to give him the life first. You can't have your way and his way. But God wants more than your money. He wants all of you. And I'm talking to somebody when I say this, okay? You know who you are. Sir, God has been speaking to you to do mission work. He has told you the place he wants you to go, and you have been refusing. You have been pretending that you do not hear him, and you know you have heard from God. You know you have heard from him. But he is saying, the Lord gave me this when I was making notes, the Lord is saying to you that you will answer to him if you keep refusing to go what you know you've heard to do. You know you've heard to go there and minister. I don't know where the place is. I don't know who you are or where you live, but you do. And he said, not only will you answer to him for refusing to obey, but you will not be blessed until you do obey. He said, you asked for that. You asked for that calling, and then and now you won't step into it. He's showing me in my spirit that you keep hitting these, I don't know what to call them. They're kind of like false starts where you're trying to do something and the wall goes up and you can't, you must be very frustrated trying to do things, and he keeps stopping you. The reason he's stopping you is because you're doing what you're not supposed to do, and you're refusing to do what he's told you to do. So God bless you. I hope that you'll go ahead and obey. There's a fairly young couple listening that God has spoken to you to give a large sum to a particular place, and you're holding back. You have asked God for a specific miracle. I think that your miracle has something to do with a baby. I don't know if that's a baby that's already in existence or a baby you're asking for, but it has to do with the baby. And God said, you're not waiting on him, he's waiting on you. He said that you're afraid and your fear is keeping you from your miracle. That's what he's saying. You know what he's told you to do. So there's also a young mom who needs a financial increase very badly. The Lord has said that there is a piece of jewelry that you inherited. I want to say from a grandmother, but I could be wrong about that. But you inherited a piece of jewelry, and God wants you to sew that. And he's going to increase you miraculously if you do that. He said that you kind of idolized that heirloom. I don't know if it's because it's been in your family a long time or what, but he wants you to give it up because of you do idolize it. He said release it completely to him. And I'm assuming he'll tell you what to do with it. He didn't say that he had already told you so. I want to share something else with y'all. Let me find this. Several years back, I had friends that were involved in ministry, and this was the height of the Great Recession. Everybody was so broke. I mean, the only people that weren't broke were people that were really wealthy. Everybody was hit. Some in some area from that. And this ministry, you know, their donations were down. And when times are tough out here, times are tough for everybody that's in ministry too, because people don't give. And they were going through that. And I didn't know they were going through it. But the Lord spoke to me one day and he said, I want you to tell them this. And he gave me this scripture, Ecclesiastes 11:4. He that observes the wind shall not sow, and he that regards the clouds shall not reap. And he showed me that that means, he showed me someone that was regarding the wind. They were looking fearfully at all the stuff that was going on, the economy and this and that and what's going on. And they were clinging tightly to their seed, to what he was telling them to sow. They were holding on to it. No, I'm not going to sow that. I better keep that. I need that for me. And they were watching the, you know, the storm clouds. He that regards the clouds shall not reap. You know why they won't reap? They didn't turn loose of their seed. They're clinging to their seed. When you cling to your seed's all you get. That's what you have to remember. If you hold on to your seed is all you get. You don't get any more because there's no increase. You can't get a harvest on seeds you didn't plant. But he really showed me a revelation in my spirit that if we get into fear, and I'd done this so many times in years past, oh my gosh, I did this so many times, that I would be afraid, you know, I would tithe and I would offer a little, but I really, in my heart, I wanted to offer more to this or that place, and I would be scared because I was walking in so much lack that I was afraid. Usually, he would speak to me and I would have to release it anyway, but it was still scary. But he doesn't want us to sow in fear. He wants us to sow in cheer. He wants us to smile and say, you know what? This is money, and God can bring me so much more than this. I'm just going to release it. And there were times back then, I did a newsletter to prisoners and sent it in to all these different prisons. And that was the that was my ministry. I would do that, and if somebody wrote me and needed a Bible, I would send them a Bible. You know, I would order them a nice Bible and things. That was my ministry then. That was what the Lord showed me to do, so that's what I did. And there were times when, I remember one time in particular, that I had to choose between paying my rent and producing the newsletter. And I knew how important the newsletter was to the Lord because He had showed me. He had given it a name and everything. And I chose to do the newsletter. And as soon as I released the money into the ministry, money came into me within days that replaced that money, and I was able to pay the rent too. And I've noticed in the last, I don't know how long, at least the last 4 or 5 months, and I was talking to someone else that said the same thing about this, that when God speaks to me and says, give $100 to that person, or give, you know, or I want you to tithe into that ministry right there, that when I release that, no sooner I release that and it turns around and comes back to me in some other form. So don't be afraid to give. Don't let the enemy make you afraid to release your seed, because he's holding back your blessings that way. He's holding you back from having more than enough, because he knows that God's people have a heart to help the needy and a heart to sow into kingdom work. And the enemy's trying to shut that down, y'all. He's trying to keep souls from being saved by holding back the finances. Because TV networks, ministries can't operate without that. So if he can shut that down, he can starve them out. Don't let him use you to do that. That's very serious. Don't let him use you to do that. God can't bless what we don't release to him. He cannot bless what we don't release. And if you release your tithe, you release the 10%, the other 90% blessed and increased. You won't even need as much. You end up not missing the 10%, is what happens. Ask anybody who's tithed for years and they'll tell you that. So the things that hold back your financial provision or increased blessing, the things that keep us from walking in abundance, when we hold back when he's telling us to give, when we sow into dead ground, when we sow sporadically, we just throw the seed out there now and then. If I'm a farmer and I walk out on 10 acres of land and I just sow a seed now and then, am I going to have a harvest? No. A farmer goes out there, he prepares his ground, he sows his seeds in nice rows, he sows consistently, he sows in season, and then the harvest comes in when it's supposed to, because that's God's way. We need to sow consistently and be faithful about sowing, because that consistency is what brings that coming back around to you in consistent manner, so that you're not in lack. If you just throw a seed out there sporadically, then you're just going to get a sporadic blessing now and then. We want to walk in the blessing, and it's ours to walk in, but we have to do our part. We need to walk in God's ways if we want to live in his, you know, his blessings. It's not Burger King. You don't get it your way. You have to do things God's way, y'all. Okay, living with a bunch of sin in your life and not being submitted to God in your heart and trying to do what's right, that will hold back blessing, because God cannot give you certain things or give you wealth or, you know, different. There's certain things God cannot bless you with if you're out there just acting all crazy and living like the devil. Okay, I'm not saying he won't feed you and keep a roof over your head, but he's not going to bless you with, you know, a big ministry position if that's what you want, or make you some, you know, well-known person who's going to touch a lot of people if you got a bunch of sin going on, because you'll touch him with that instead. And you'll make him look bad on top of that. And we all do from time to time, but God wants to bless you. Make no mistake about that. He wants you to have an abundance of everything, every good thing in your life, and all the things that you need and things you want. He wants you to have things you want because he wants us to be happy. That doesn't mean a mansion and a Mercedes-Benz, but he wants you to have a nice place to live. He wants you to have enough that you don't worry when the electric bill comes in, or you don't worry when you have to pay rent or house payment. He doesn't want you to have to worry if you've got enough for gas for next week to, you know, drive to work. He wants you to be able to think about him. He doesn't want all our prayers to be begging prayers. And when we're in need or in lack, our prayers are begging prayers. We're begging him to help us because we're desperate and we're scared. We need to be obedient about sowing, how, when, and where He tells us. And we need to be consistent, doing it all the time, not just, you know, once a year or Easter and Christmas or whatever. We need to sow consistently. Y'all know what I mean when I say Easter and Christmas. People who go to church twice a year. And I mean, that's great if you go twice a year, but if you only give into God's work twice a year, that's a serious problem. God doesn't want us to survive on financial miracles. He wants us to walk in financial abundance because we're doing things His way and we're constantly giving into His work so that other people can learn about Jesus and get saved. And that pleases Him, and He turns around and blesses us back. So that's all I have for y'all tonight. I have like a whole list of scriptures I didn't read. I need to read some of these. 2 Corinthians 9:6. The point is, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And y'all remember Ecclesiastes 11:4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regards the clouds shall not reap. Just remember, if you're standing out there staring at the storm clouds clutching your seed is all you're going to have. That's all you're going to have because you're holding on to it. Galatians 6:7, one of my favorite scriptures of all time. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Proverbs 28:27, he who gives to the poor will never want, but he who shuts his eyes will have many curses. Y'all get that? He's given us a clue here. If our life has lots of curses on it, bad stuff's happening all the time, we're having accidents all the time, all kind of things are going on, maybe we need to look at that. Are we closing our eyes to people in need? Are we not giving when we should be giving? Are we not caring about someone else's pain? Think about that. If you feel like you're living under curses, think about that. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. It's a beautiful promise. Okay, y'all, that's all I have tonight. I pray that this blesses you. It's obviously on the Lord's heart. He's trying to get us ready for what's coming. But we have to obey Him if we really want to be ready. What He has shown me, like I said, there is no amount of storing up that's going to get you through that. The only people who are going to get through that time are the people that He supernaturally provides for. And if you want Him to provide for you then, you need to provide for His kingdom work now. That's the way that works. He wants us to give into kingdom work consistently so that other people can get saved, to hear about Him and learn and you know, rise up and answer their call and do their stuff. That all costs money, so we have to help them because they're our future brothers and sisters. And then when these times come that are so hard, He's going to provide for us. He's going to take care of us so we can keep doing our work. But y'all think on these things. It's very important. It's very important to God. I mean, it's important to us too because we don't want to be in lack all the time. But it is extremely important to the Lord that this work gets done because we're living in the time of the final harvest. And it's us He's going to use to bring it in. And if we don't obey and do our part, guess what? People won't get saved. Guess who's going to answer for that? Us. If He told us to do stuff and we didn't do it, we're going to answer for it. I hope that y'all have a really good week. If you don't know the Lord and you would like to experience the kind of life-changing power only He can bring to you, I would like to invite you to join the worldwide family of believers right now. We want you to be a part of the family of God. God is calling you. You feel it in your heart right now. The time to say yes to His call is growing shorter by the day. Whatever you have done, wherever you are, it doesn't matter. He has the power to wipe away your sins and give you a new start. He can bring you out of the darkness and give you a hope and a future like never before. If you have known Him before and turned away, now is the time to renew your commitment to Him. The end of all things is upon us, and some of us have less time left on the earth than others. None of us know for sure when we'll be called home to eternity. You might not have another chance, so make the choice today. Whatever the enemy has burned down in your life, God can restore it. He's in the restoration business, and He wants to restore yours today. There is a man who's weeping right now. You feel God working on your heart, sir. God is calling you to say yes. He says if you will say yes to Him, He will fix what is wrong. And you know what He's talking about. Don't wait. Just say yes to Him. It is not the Lord's will that we live in pain, in lack, and in fear. He wants so much more for you. If you'll just give Him a chance, He'll show you what He can do for you. And all you really have to say is, "Yes, Lord, I accept Your invitation. I come to You a broken vessel. I realize tonight I need You, and in the name of Jesus, Your Son, who shed His blood for me on the cross of Calvary, who died for my sins. I am a sinner, Lord, but I don't want to be one anymore. You said in Romans 10:9 that if we would confess the Lord our God and believe that You raised Jesus from the dead, that we would be saved. I accept Jesus as my Savior, and I declare now I am saved, I am delivered, I am healed, I am set free in the name of Jesus. Change my life, Lord. Help me to honor You in all I do." If you have just said yes to the Lord, we welcome you into the family of God. Your life is forever changed. God will amaze you with His power. He will amaze you with His generosity and His mercy. All you have to do is just walk with Him. Just say yes to Him and just let Him work His mighty power in your life. Years ago, when I said yes to the Lord, I had no idea what all I was saying yes to. I just knew that He was calling me, and I just said yes, and He just took over from there. What I did was submit and flow with Him. I listened for Him to talk to me. I looked for signs of Him answering things that I was asking Him about, and I began to read the Bible. I didn't understand the Bible, so I didn't read it much. Mostly, I listened to sermons by other people. I found people I liked to listen to, and I began listening to them. It was about, I think it was just over a year before He opened the Word to me, where I started to understand anything I was reading in the Bible. And it's okay if you don't understand it right now. It could be you need a different translation. Some are easier to understand than others. It could be that you learn better by listening. It's okay either way. Get the Word however you can get it. It doesn't matter how you get it. It only matters that you do get it. And some teachers are easier to listen to at different times than others. Whatever teacher you like listening to, that's probably who He's drawing you to listen to right now. And He will speak to you through that person's sermons. If you cannot hear God any other way, just listen to teachers you like. He'll get the message to you that He's trying to tell you. Trust Him to get what He wants you to hear to you. All we really need to do is submit and cooperate with Him. God bless you all. I hope that you have a really great week. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio tonight. We hope that you have been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any church or nonprofit organization.